Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Thanks so much for tuning in today. You're listening to Point of View. My name is Rosa Dunn. I'm your host for the next 30 minutes, and it is my pleasure to invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy as we keep you up to date on what's happening here in the Florida parishes. We want to make sure you don't miss a thing, and especially since this is get back to school time, we want to make sure that you and your family, your children, your grandchildren are all ready to have a happy, healthy, back-to-school, new fall season. And so today we open the show with a very special thank you to the Hammond Downtown Development District, the proud sponsor of Point of View. Downtown Hammond offers a wide variety of food and entertainment for all ages and occasions, including art galleries, painting parties, restaurants, boutiques, and even a children's museum that offers playtime for the youngest Hammond residents. More information is available on the Downtown Development District website at www.dddhammond.com. Special thanks to the Hammond Downtown Development District for underwriting Point of View and for making it possible for me to visit today with Michelle Covello, who is a family nurse practitioner with North Oaks Primary Care Livingston, part of the North Oaks Health System. And today we're going to talk about immunizations, healthy eating habits, and healthy hygiene, because it's time to get back to school. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Rosa.
Well, we're very happy to have you. And how long have you been practicing as a nurse practitioner, family nurse practitioner?
I've been a nurse practitioner for 2.5 years. It'll be 3 in November. And graduated from Loyola and happy to be working with North Oaks Health Systems now.
And welcome to Hammond and the surrounding area.
Thank you.
Because with your degree, I know you could have chosen anywhere to go and to work. So how lucky are we? Why North Oaks?
Well, I wanted to work for North Oaks. My family lives in Livingston Parish. My mother lives in Walker, and my in-laws live in Springfield. And so when I graduated, I wanted to come back and serve a community that I was going to be a part of.
That's a perfect fit, isn't it? And you will love this area, the perfect place to raise a family and live. Well, so now it's time. In fact, parents have already been getting ready for this time. Some children are back at school. Some still have a few days out there. But from planning the after-school snacks to getting shots, we parents and grandparents should be prepared now so that our children have a healthy start to the new school year. And all of this affects academics. It all affects that participation or lack of in the classroom. And I'm told teachers can pick it out immediately, depending on whether a child is eating well, sleeping well, etc.
Absolutely. Well, it's hard to believe that it's that time of year again, back to school.
Where did the summer go?
I don't know. I wish it was back. But so now really is a good time. If parents haven't done so already, now is the time to break out the children's shot records, make sure that their immunizations are up to date. It's required in entering into pre-K, Head Start, and kindergarten for their shots to be mandatory and up to date prior to entering. And the immunizations that are necessary at entering those programs are polio, measles, mumps, and rubella, hepatitis, varicella, and tetanus.
And what is varicella?
Varicella is chickenpox.
Oh, chickenpox. I remember that well. I'm going to back you up to find and review your children's immunization records. Now, we were lucky. Dr. Michael Dunn is obsessive compulsive in my house. I'm not. I think if I had stashed our Ashley's records somewhere, they would have probably been in my lingerie drawer. That way I'd have known exactly where to go. But Dr. Dunn kept a file, and it was marked. And so every year we knew where to go. What's the best advice we can give parents on where to keep the records so that you can find your records?
Well, you want to keep them with all of your important papers. But fortunately, the state of Louisiana does have a computer program called Lynx. And if you've gone and had shots at a health unit or your primary care provider or pediatrician, those immunizations should have been inputted into that computer system, and we have access to that.
Very good. Well, I know all of our little munchkins need shots to get ready to go to school, even our older kids. I remember when Ashley left for college, I see here college-bound children also need meningitis shots. And now the CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, recommends a routine vaccination for college freshmen living in the dormitories. And yes, she did for 2 years.
That's very important because that's the type of environment, close quarters, where if some type of virus or bacterial infection had an outbreak, that's where those processes would thrive. So it's really important that if your children are going to school, they're living in any type of a closed environment, that immunization is very important.
Yes. I remember, you know, the day we brought home our grandbaby, I was laughing at my daughter, but, she started a good practice and we're all still doing it. Before anybody touches Amelia, who's 10 months old now, we're still washing our hands with soap and water, and then we're using some type of bacterial, antibacterial wash on our hands. And, I mean, she was like a vigilante, not touching the baby before we do all this. And eventually I know, and because, Amelia's in a wonderful daycare in Baton Rouge at the Baptist Church, Broadmoor Baptist Church, but we're still spraying our hands and washing soap and water and singing our ABCs and doing whatever we need to do as a family to protect her.
Absolutely. That's very important to teach your children good hand hygiene. It's reported that there's 22 million cases of children missing school just for the common cold. So establishing good hand hygiene, washing your hands whenever you cough or sneeze, using a tissue, disposing of that tissue immediately and washing your hands are all very good practices. Hand sanitizers are encouraged, especially with children in school and college, that they carry that around and they use that as much as they can to prevent certain viruses from spreading.
And you know, Michelle, I need to tell you, just last night I was looking over some travel information, and they're even saying now, keep that antibacterial hand wash in your purse or your carry-on bag or whatever, because that's another enclosed environment and that air is circulating.
Absolutely.
And so today, if you're just tuning in, we are talking about our back-to-school checklist with Michelle Covello. She is a family nurse practitioner at the North Oaks Primary Care Livingston, part of the North Oaks Health System. We opened our conversation with immunizations, and it makes me sad, even though I don't know if we eventually forget that these little rascals hurt, and I haven't gone yet with my grandbaby, but my daughter has cried when she got back in the car. She said, "Mama, the baby's crying and I'm crying too." But it goes by quickly, I hope.
It does. It may be uncomfortable and sore for about 24 hours, but past that, any soreness should disappear, dissipate.
Children still run a bit of fever with these immunizations?
Not all the time, but there is a possibility, and we can give them Tylenol.
Well, good. And some little rascals, you'd never know they've even had a shot. So you never know. Well, today we're making sure that your child is ready for school. I can't tell you how many children and teachers, I should say, have sat across from me saying, "I know whether a child's had a good meal the night before, a good breakfast, when they come into the classroom. I can tell by their participation in the class."
Absolutely. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It jumpstarts that metabolism. It gives the brain food in order to function. It also helps with self-esteem. So I would encourage all parents to ensure that their children get a good, healthy breakfast prior to going off to school.
And, you know, they're going to complain about it, I can tell you, because even at my age, I remember complaining to my mother all those years ago, and my mother's 80. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. She would make my brother and I, and now I'm so grateful because, and we were blessed that she had time to do this. I know that not all moms do, but we would have toast, eggs, and grits.
That's a good breakfast.
I'm telling you, she fixed it. And she was grease lightning getting it on the table and getting us out the door. I don't know how she did it, but she did. And then, of course, that instilled in me to make sure my daughter had a hot breakfast. And now, by the grace of God, I'm happy to say that some of our children can enjoy a hot breakfast when they get to school.
Absolutely. That's a great meal when the schools do provide breakfast for the kids to get them started on their day.
And that breakfast also fosters a healthy weight
Absolutely.
And we are in the state of Louisiana, all over the United States, but especially in the state of Louisiana, we're struggling with that right now.
We are struggling. But recommendations for breakfast are whole grains. If you stay away from the sugary cereals, the sugary breakfast, the quick grab and go, maybe preparing something the night before that's ready for them to go, or something simple. You can do like parfaits and use yogurt, and that'll get some protein as well as something sweet and with fresh fruits. Those are all really good.
Those
good
are great
starts
ideas
to the day,
and you can do it the night before and just, as you say, grab and go.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed shopping the grocery store aisles. I'm happy to see that. The fast food people or the frozen food people are picking up on this too, with cheese and egg biscuit or egg and sausage biscuit or something like that, that you can zap in the microwave in a matter of seconds.
And they're also making them with whole grain and with egg whites too. So,
oh yeah, and that's good. I've tried that. Mm-hmm. It's yummy.
It's very good. So there are there are very healthy options out there.
Now, my sister-in-law is having to pack my little nephew's lunch. He's one of those persnickety eaters, and eating in the lunchroom has not worked for him yet. He's in fifth grade. Let's talk about school lunch and having to pack your lunch if you have a picky eater like my little nephew Landry.
Well, you moms know. They know what their children like to eat, and it's good to use healthy choices. And if you use like whole grain breads, tortilla wraps instead of two slices of bread.
Yes.
Ham sandwich, turkey, just interesting things that you can wrap in the tortillas. That's really a good something they can carry, eat quick, not a whole lot of fuss. Raw vegetables and fruits are really recommended too. So there's a lot of good things that you can make and keep and provide for the children that are easy for them to prepare.
Absolutely. And on busy days, we can consider a bowl of whole grain cereal. I tried a cereal yesterday, Michelle, that had added protein. And that kept me going a lot longer. I was quite happily surprised.
Well, protein is always a good inclusion into your breakfast.
And then this is absolutely hysterical because I've never done this in my entire lifetime, and I don't think my child has, but who knows? Leftover pizza?
Leftover pizza, especially if you have veggies and protein on it as well. That's a good start to the day. You have carbohydrates, you have protein, you have fats, a cup of orange juice to help with some fruit juice, and they're good to go.
That's a great idea. And a lot of, when we were caring for my sweet dad, he loves smoothies. And so I always made sure that we had the ingredients to make a good, delicious smoothie for him, whether it was strawberries, blueberries, low-fat yogurt. He absolutely loved it.
And that's a good way, too, to incorporate things that your children may not eat. I know my nephew doesn't care for yogurt out of a cup, but if we mix it in with a smoothie, he just knows that it's good and he likes it.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to hide some of the things that are really nutritious for our
children. Be a little tricky, Mom. Be a little tricky because it looks like a fancy dessert. And who wouldn't love to eat dessert for breakfast? I'm raising my hand. Well, we need to provide our children with the energy needed for any extracurricular activities or homework with an after-school snack. And so I'm going to allow Michelle Covello, the family nurse practitioner, to slap my hand because there were many times when I was raising our daughter that if I got in a hurry with all my beloved community service projects that I love so much and we're so blessed to be a part of, or working part-time, that I would grab, like I would go through a fast food place and grab a happy meal, a kid's meal, or whatever they're calling them today, just so Ashley would have something when she got in the car.
Rosa, don't feel guilty about that. Those meals are fine on occasion, but it shouldn't compose the child's only source of nutrition.
Exactly. Well, thank heavens I'm not going to get slapped today. But she did love, I was lucky, I had a child who loved yogurt. Mm-hmm. So that was always a great snack. Now tell me, what is an inside-out sandwich? I don't know that.
That's one of my favorites. An inside-out sandwich, you take a piece of turkey with some mustard and you roll up a pretzel stick, and there's your inside-out sandwich. You have your bread, you have your condiments, and you have your meat. You can always roll a slice of cheese with it too.
And roll it around a pretzel?
A pretzel stick.
I love this. Ooh, and I bet it's yummy, too.
Yummy, yummy.
With a little spicy mustard. But the kids wouldn't like the spicy mustard, but I'm going to try it with that. Now, tell me, what is a rocky road?
Well, a rocky road is actually, it's very interesting. You break up a graham cracker into bite-sized pieces. You add it to some low-fat chocolate pudding along with a few miniature marshmallows.
Oh, this sounds delicious, too.
That would be great for breakfast.
Yeah. Ooh, breakfast. Yummy. And then a mini pizza.
Those are really easy to make. Your base is an English muffin, and then you can drizzle some pizza sauce over the top and sprinkle some low-fat mozzarella cheese.
Man,
pop
this
it in the
all
microwave.
Sounds wonderful. Easy, easy, easy. And then the flour tortillas, the whole wheat flour tortillas. I have so enjoyed making sandwiches with that. And you know, it's like visually, I think I'm getting more.
Well, that's one of my favorites. I might make that for my husband and I for dinner sometimes. And what we do is we take some turkey and we'll put some Swiss cheese over the top. And instead of using like mayonnaise or mustard or anything like that, we'll use like a low-fat Italian dressing. And they're really good with some lettuce and tomatoes.
Ooh, and I'm going to take that one step further because, you know, welcome to the Italian population here in this area. I also put like one little spoon of the olive. Italian olive salad?
Yes,
it
that would
like
be really good.
It tastes like a little mini muffaletta.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's my husband's favorite, the olive salad.
There you go, and it is delicious. Well, and we also have two more ideas for everybody. I hope you're writing this down. Peanut butter. It's my favorite thing in the whole wide world.
And these are really very good. Take some peanut butter and mix it with some cornflakes in a bowl, shape them into a ball, and roll them into graham crackers. What a yummy bite.
Did you bring some with you?
I didn't.
Oh, I always love this show because people bring snacks.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
I should have told you to make up some of these snacks. They sound delicious. And then we could really give a true opinion. Okay, and snack kebabs. Ashley used to love to do this. And when I had time, I would make little bowls with all kind of items chopped up in them so mm-hmm. she could design her own kebab.
Well, the kebabs were... The kebabs, the sticks that we use are the small, thin pretzel sticks.
Yes.
And putting a piece of cubed cheese or grape or whatever the children
pineapple
would like.
And pineapple and ham was her favorite.
That sounds yum.
Yeah, pineapple and ham. Well, if you're just tuning in, we're visiting with Michelle Covello. She is a family nurse practitioner with North Oaks Primary Care Livingston, which is part of the North Oaks Health System. And today we're talking, we started off with immunizations, and we want to be sure that you have this information if you're just joining us. For more information about immunization requirements, you can visit the Department of Health and Hospitals website at www.dhhlouisiana.gov. Or you can also call our guest, Michelle, at the North Oaks Primary Care Clinic.
Yes, you can. The phone number there is 225-686-4930. You can also go to North Oaks' website, which is northoaks.org.
Very good. And the information is there or the links are there to connect you wherever you need to go.
Absolutely.
Or if you're not technical like Miss Rosa, you can call on the telephone. And everybody is so nice. So thank God for that. Well, let's get into health and hygiene. You know, we were talking about washing our hands often with soap and water. We're still singing our ABCs. And that's what I've been teaching my baby, even though she can't even talk yet.
Well, that's a good one, too, but here's another one that you can try if you get tired of the ABCs.
Okay, what's next?
Sing Happy Birthday twice.
Oh, okay.
You sing happy birthday twice. The recommended time for you to wash your hands, it's the friction, is 15 to 20 seconds. And so if you sing happy birthday twice while you're washing your hands with soap and water, rinsing it, then that is a good time frame for the friction to decompose that bacteria.
I know. We've already been practicing with her for her first birthday, which is coming in September. And she goes, yay, when she finishes.
That's cute.
That's perfect. We're getting ready. The alcohol-based hand cleaners, they're effective.
Yes,
the ones
they are
effective. About. Very good.
But that's not...
That's not enough by itself.
It's not enough by itself. When your hands are visibly dirty, it's time to use soap and water.
Very good. And I know when caring for Dad, I mean, how many of us have bought a box of tissue, we're coughing, we're sneezing, we use it one time, but then we want to use it again and we leave them laying around the house? I learned very quickly to throw it away.
Right. Use it once and throw it away.
And throw it away. And to cover, in fact, this past week, and I apologized to the young lady because she did look at me a little funny, but then she said she understood. Because I care for my mother now. Mm-hmm. I was walking through one of our local grocery stores, and when I got into the checkout line, the young woman to check me out was coughing very badly.
Mm-hmm.
And sneezed twice before I got to her, and I got out of the line. I moved. And she noticed that. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm caring for an elderly parent. I'm going to move to someone else. And I said, I hope I didn't hurt your feelings. And she said, no, I understand. She said, I've been sick for about a week, but I'm feeling better today.
Well, Miss Rosa, that you did what you had to do.
Yes.
And it's good that you recognize that. So many times we all walk through life blindly and it doesn't register to us immediately, coughing, sneezing, an illness.
Get out of the way.
Get out of the way. But also importantly, if you're sick or your children are sick, keep them home from school. Stay home from work. That will help prevent the spread of any type of viruses
exactly.
and bacteria.
Exactly. And this I've learned so much in caring for Dad. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, or mouth. That's why we made sure we kept his hands very clean.
Right. Those are mucous membranes, and they're highly susceptible to contracting anything that you touch. So that's really important. That's how conjunctivitis or pink eye is spread. Coughing and sneezing, that's how the cold and the flu are spread. And then just good hand hygiene, anything that you touch, shaking somebody's hand and scratching your mouth, people need to be more aware
yeah.
of where their hands are.
And, you know, Dad was from that generation. He shook everybody's hands. Everybody he saw that smiled at him, he'd reach out and shake their hand, which I find I'm doing that too. So we just have to be careful with that. And then we're back to getting plenty of sleep. We talked about that when we opened the show. And then, you can slap my hand again. Exercise.
Exercise is very important. It keeps your metabolism going. It increases your self-esteem. You feel good. You feel better. People who do aerobic activity for a certain period of time, it releases endorphins, and that's why you feel so much better. I know it's hard for everybody to find time, but it's recommended, especially with older children and adults. The morning time is best. Do it. Get it out of the way before you have to make up an excuse not
yeah.
to do it. And then for the younger ones, it's important to get the children involved in some type of school sport or some outdoor activity after school.
Very good. I know. Remember growing up, well, Michelle's younger than I am, but I remember, you know, my brother and I would go outside in the morning. We might come back inside for lunch, but I remember my mother to this day calling us for dinner to get cleaned up to come to dinner. And we didn't have all those handheld games or, Xbox or whatever you call the stuff. We didn't have all that, and I think we were healthier for it.
I think so, too. We didn't have all of those electronics when I was
exactly.
growing up either. And fortunately for us, my father was in the military, so we had free rein wherever we were because we had a fence around us wherever we were. But we were very active, and we had swimming pools and teen centers
yeah,
and exercise centers and organized play. So we were always outside.
Very good. And other teachers that have sat across from me, Michelle, we always talk about managing stress because there are such discipline problems in the classroom. And they all say the same thing. Children who are exposed to music, dramatic arts, are the arts in any form or fashion make for a better, well-behaved child in the classroom?
That's true. It's the creative side that's being exposed at that point in time. And it also provides a relaxation being exposed to the arts. And that is really important for our children today. They're involved in so much stress. They carry the stress of their parents. They carry the stress of school. They carry the stress of peers. And what we can do as parents is to try and avoid as much stress as our children are under and just help them learn to cope, and enjoying the arts is one way to
absolutely
do that.
Absolutely. Find a creative outlet. Drink plenty of fluids. We need to talk about that because, man, when they tell you how many spoons of sugar are in a can of soda, I go crazy.
Well, sodas are fine every now and then, but just like fast food, you don't want to make that your primary source of fluids. Water is best by far, and there are sugar-free alternatives out there that we can use. Even sports drinks now are made with a sugar-free, no calories. But even those I wouldn't recommend all the time. Water is your best source of fluids. If your children don't like water, then Kool-Aid's still good. But just like soft drinks, you don't want to have them drinking too many fluids with sugar in it.
Absolutely. And you can always doctor up that water too, even if it's just with a little bit of lemon or, you know, whatever. It works.
Absolutely. It works. Try some orange too.
Ooh, that sounds good too. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, now that I have a grandbaby, I'm starting to hear about these other things that we should be looking out for. And one of them is MRSA. MRSA.
That's methicillin resistant staphylococcus aureus. And that is very prevalent in our community, and more people are probably exposed to it and have it than what you would think. It harbors in our noses. And so the importance with that is children and adults with good immune systems, it doesn't affect them so much. But if we have immunocompromised children, the MRSA can get into open areas of the skin. And that's a lot of times we'll see abscesses. I see several elementary, high school children that come in, and sometimes we have to lance that abscess, but we put them on some antibiotics and we follow them very closely. But believe it or not, MRSA is very prevalent in our community.
In the community. And mm-hmm. I'm sitting here thinking, one more thing for grandma to worry about.
That's why it's so important to stress good hand hygiene.
And we will go over that again. You're going to wet your hands with clean running water and then apply the soap, and use warm water if it's available.
Absolutely.
And then rub our hands together to make a lather and scrub all surfaces. My dad was such a good hand washer. I can picture him right now. He was great at this. And continue rubbing your hands together for 60 seconds, or like Michelle told us, sing Happy Birthday twice. And that's a happy feeling song, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Most children know that song.
I know. And I'm thinking back to Alice in Wonderland, where they sing A Very Merry Unbirthday to You. And then you're going to rinse your hands well after running under running water, and dry your hands using a paper towel or an air dryer.
Yes.
And what I'm doing, you know, Dr. Dunn and I love to travel, and I've been doing this for several years too. Whatever paper towel, if I use a paper towel, I also use it to open the restroom door.
That's so very important.
Right.
That's so very important because
turn off the faucet too.
You want to use if the paper towels are available, you want to turn off the faucet with the paper towel that you dry your hand, and also use it on the hand knob, because believe it or not, there's a lot of people out there who don't wash their hands after going to the bathroom, and you're just exposing yourself to whatever it was that they turned the knob with or pulled on the door with.
Oh, absolutely. Once again, we just have to be aware of our environment. Have that antenna up. HPV vaccinations. I'm hearing this information every time I turn on the TV. So there's a big push.
There is a big push, and even so much so that it's been around for about the last five to seven, almost 10 years for young girls. We generally like to vaccinate them between the ages of 9 and 11 or 9 to 12, and that's really important because we're getting a hold of them way before any thought of sexual activities occurring. And this immunization has been being pushed and has been researched so much in that it's now recommended by the CDC that young boys the same age as 9 to 11 receive this immunization too. Because if we can stop it from the source, then we can stop it from creating the cancers that are related to the HPV virus.
Yes. And before we run out of time, Michelle, talk about backpack safety. I see these children carrying bags that look like they weigh a ton.
Well, and that's sad to say, but yes, that is definitely out there. What you need to do when you're looking for a backpack, there are several things that you need to do that would help prevent injury. You want to choose a lightweight backpack with two wide straps. You want also to have a waist strap. You want those straps to be tight on the shoulder so that it evenly distributes the weight of that backpack across the strong muscles of the back. You want to make sure and go through your child's backpack daily so that whatever is not necessary in that backpack, we take out.
Take it out.
And then also, it's important to teach your children proper lifting. Use the leg muscles. They're the biggest muscles in the body, especially when if you're bending over to pick it up. But you want to bend your knees, use your legs, stand up, and then put the backpack on safely. And most importantly, children out there, if you're listening, let your parents know at any point in time if you're having any back pain, knee pain, any type of pain related to wearing your backpack. That's really important that that gets addressed as
Absolutely.
Soon as possible.
Well, with the help of Michelle Covello this morning, we have gone through the backpack safety. We've talked about immunizations. We've talked about health and hygiene. We've talked about healthy meals. This is like, you know, school, going back to school 101. And I thank you so much because it's everything a parent or a grandparent, a guardian needs to know for their child to have a happy, healthy start to the new year. So, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rosa. And if anybody has any questions on the information that we covered today, by all means, they can give us a call at 225-686-4930 or go to the www.northoaks.org.
Very good. Michelle Covello, family nurse practitioner with the North Oaks Primary Care Livingston, part of the North Oaks Health System. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Rosa.
And I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in today, and a special thank you to the Hammond Downtown Development District, the proud sponsor of Point of View. Downtown Hammond offers a wide variety of food and entertainment for all ages and occasions, including art galleries, painting parties, restaurants, boutiques, and even a children's museum. More information is available online at www.dddhammond.com. Special thanks to the Hammond Downtown Development District for underwriting Point of View. My name is Rosa Dunn. Let's make it a safe and happy day out there.